Alright, I'm good now. No, Derek can't see my funny things that I'm typing to you, AJ. Make a group chat.
I have a group chat. I don't know why you're not in it.
Well, invite me in it.
You are in it, though.
I am not. Lies. You lie. Boo.
I see the group
chat. We're not going to start until I'm in the chat.
For a love of Pete.
Oh, there's a group chat. Welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for October 9th, 2009. This is Mike Minotti, joined by my brother Ashguy.
Hello.
And today our very special guest is Derek Levine from the Pixel Revolt from Bitmob. Say hi, Derek.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on.
No problem.
Absolutely.
You had AJ on last week, right? On
the We did.
How did you do?
Well, so-so.
Yeah.
See, yeah, I mean, I don't listen to anything AJ's on personally, so.
Including his own podcast.
You didn't miss much, so don't worry about it.
That's good.
Hey,
it was great. You talked about, what'd you say about me?
What did we say about you? I don't know. I think it was kind.
Oh, now you're making me listen. All right. Anyways, welcome to our show, everybody. I don't know why I want to say Exploding Barrel Podcast again. So here's what we're doing for today. We're going to start off with the news. As you guys are going to have all that. Then we're going to do the Great American Ashguy Gaming Quiz. Hey, Derek, do you like Kingdom Hearts?
Sure.
AJ, you're screwed.
Oh, damn it, I'm screwed.
All right.
Well, if it helps, I am familiar with a lot of Square products, so
that
may help.
Okay, good.
Maybe it'll be good. Then we're going to do Either Or, where you have to pick one thing over the other. There's a lightning round. You know, there's points involved. I'll pick a winner at the end. It's great. Then we'll do our week in gaming. We'll talk about what we've been playing. Then talk about the releases, downloadable and retail, and that'll be the whole show. So, Ashguy, do your thing. The onus is yours.
Very good. So first up, we have news that just like the first game, Left 4 Dead 2 will have early demo access for people who pre-ordered it on Steam.
Why, you know what news story I want first.
We're saving that.
Damn
it. It's special. It's the news story of 2009. It goes
maybe. It's close. It's either that or Epic Mickey. Oh, there's all the Epic Mickey stuff, too.
Oh, I thought that's what you were talking about. What were you talking about?
Don't tell me you forgot to include the other awesome thing.
Wait, which one are you talking about? Oh, my God, I did.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Okay, they'll both come at the end, then.
Oh, my God,
even
okay.
You spoiled one.
Let's talk about Left 4 Dead 2 some more.
All right, just real quick, the early access will start October 27th, or at least they hope it will.
Yeah, it's called Left 4 Dead 1.
Oh, you jerk.
No, I kid.
Pre-ordering gets you an American baseball bat.
Oh, what now?
An American baseball bat.
As opposed to what?
I don't know. A cricket bat.
Yeah, I was about to say.
I think there are cricket bats in the game, actually.
Are there?
Yeah.
Why?
Why not?
I don't think they play that game in New Orleans.
Maybe they do. They're French-ish.
Do the French play
actually,
cricket?
They're Acadian, to be specific.
No, because
anyway.
if they were really French, they would have hockey sticks. Well, that's at least French-Canadian, but...
Well, that's where they came from.
You only know that because you like Gambit.
Oh, no, that's because they might actually be doing that for my next documentary.
That's fascinating. Keep going.
I've been learning about the
Acadians.
We
don't want to talk about you. Keep going.
Two new modes have been revealed. First, there's scavenge mode, which is kind of like, it's a versus mode that's sort of Capture the Flag-ish, where there's, like, all these gas cans scattered throughout the level. The survivors have 2 minutes to collect them all and put them in this generator. Every can collected gets you another 20 seconds on the clock, and special infected must try to stop them. The other mode is realism mode. It's just like some kind of super hard mode for like the crazy hardcore players. Continuing talking about Valve, they just announced they've acquired Ice Frog, better known as the developers of the Defense of the Ancients mod.
Okay, so, I'm kind of confused, because I thought the Defense of the Ancients people just made that Heroes of New Earth, or whatever.
I
Oh, that's right. don't know. Maybe only some of them did, or maybe they did. Now they just got bought by Valve.
Yeah.
Right. Because my one friend's been playing that. From what I understand, a lot of the Defense of the Ancients community has moved on to that. I mean, you look at the game, it's basically just like...
standalone Defense of the Ancients
with
their own art.
Right, it's like slightly better. I mean, it looks a lot like Warcraft 3 still. Yeah. A lot. I mean, you know, whatever. But, yeah, I'm kind of confused because I thought those people had already done their own thing. Why didn't Blizzard just, like, get them?
I don't know.
It's
Blizzard's
like backwards.
Money.
It's like when Valve bought, you know, the guys who made Counter-Strike, except this time it wasn't a mod for their own game.
That kind of made sense.
It made perfect sense. Keep going.
Moving on. The upcoming 360 dashboard update that includes Facebook, Last.fm, Twitter, and the Zune Marketplace is coming soon, with a beta coming this month. So, you know, you get to check out all that stuff. The PlayStation Network.
Why can't
Network
we talk about
is...
the cool things now?
Oh, they're coming. They're coming. The PlayStation Network is now on Amazon, so you can buy PSN games directly through Amazon and get a code. Speaking of PlayStation Network downloads, the PSP Go. Let's talk about it some more. It's already seeing price cuts in the UK because no one's buying the damn thing.
No, there's. I think it's really too early to tell whether or not it's doing anything because, I mean, the damn thing's been out for a week.
I agree with Derek.
So here's the thing. Now we have in the US where Sony is claiming that PSP sales are up 300%.
Which I would not doubt because they were selling, what, 5 a week as it was?
New hardware is going to sell.
Yeah. Right. They also go on to talk about the big jump in PlayStation Network sales. I just want to say, well, I mean, yeah, that's going to happen when you put 40 games on the thing all at once. Of course the sales are going
to
spike.
Stop trying to detract from the thing every chance you get.
I
don't worry.
Although I was at Target today, and God of War, you could download it on the PlayStation Network for, like, I think it's $16, but, like, to buy the voucher in the store was $20, which I thought was really dumb.
Well, what store were you buying it from?
It was Target. I didn't buy it. I just saw it on the
shelf. Well, that's their markup then.
Well, right. But everything else matched the prices. I don't know. Whatever. Okay, fine. I'll move on.
High five, Derek. Shutting Edge Guy down.
Yeah.
This is great.
Let's talk about Activision and their evilness.
They have
downsized 7 studios, and they have closed Brash Entertainment.
Didn't they not make anything good? They made Spider-Man Web of Shadows, right?
Right, and they were apparently working on a video game adaptation of The Flash. They leaked some early footage of it, which it didn't look too bad.
Mm-hmm. Except it's from the guys who made Spider-Man Web of Shadows.
Yeah, that game wasn't too bad.
Yeah, it wasn't all that bad, but it didn't sell all that well, which immediately means being cut by Activision.
Well, I think Activision's facing the problem now where people are coming wise to the fact that they are, quote-unquote, exploiting all of their franchises, such as the somewhat poor sales of Guitar Hero 5 that we're hearing of now.
Go ahead. I don't think it's the fact that people are becoming wise to that. I mean, they've never hidden that fact. I mean, Bobby Kotick has been pretty vocal in the fact that he's not interested in anything that won't make him money year after year.
Right. That's why they don't have Brutal Legend. But Wedbush Morgan is projecting that the Beatles Rock Band actually beat Guitar Hero 5.
In the U.S.
Yeah.
Which I'm kind of surprised if it... I mean, this is still predictions and whatnot, but that would still kind of surprise me. I don't know.
Well, based on the stories that I've heard of some stories of, like, just more Beatles fans going out, like, older Beatles fans going out and buying the game and then realizing that they needed something to play it on.
Yeah,
I've actually heard stories about that where they didn't realize they needed an Xbox 360 to play this game on.
Right. Oh, I thought you meant like a guitar.
No. Like they didn't realize they needed it because they're paying so much for this big box. They're not gamers. They're Beatles fans, and they're paying so much money for this huge box, this thing that's taking up half the retail space that other video games should be getting, and getting it home and realizing they can't play it.
Yeah, I never thought about that, but that seems like a very likely scenario.
Yeah, and when you put it like that, it does make sense.
Yeah, but, no, I mean, I was rooting for Beatles, I guess, if you believe in rooting for one game over the other. But
right.
Apparently in the UK, though, Beatles Rock Band is not beating Guitar Hero 5, which is strange. You think, you know, the Beatles would still have something of a fan base in England, but...
Okay, we good there?
We're done here. Go. All right, go Beatles.
Let's talk some quick deals. C News first. Naughty Dog, talking about upcoming Uncharted 2 DLC, said that it'll probably focus more on, like, the competitive multiplayer modes as opposed to the co-op modes, because those cost a lot more money to make and they're a lot bigger.
Whatever, I want that game. I don't need to worry about the DLC right now.
Dragon Age is getting Day 1 DLC for $7.
Don't we hate Day 1 DLC?
I do, but when I read that, I actually was mad at first.
They did, yeah, no, I was the same way, but they did explain it very, very well. I guess, I mean, I don't want to take your story out from under you, AJ.
No, go ahead.
From what I understood, it was something that they wanted to put in the retail release of the game, but it wasn't finished in time, and so they just kept going in order to get it out on day one.
Well, that's actually, I think that's the case with, like, there is a DLC that's included with the game mm-hmm. if you buy a new copy.
Okay.
This is something that's completely separate, mm-hmm. and their explanation on this one is that they basically had to lock down all the content of this game, like, in the summer, and then they just continued work on polishing it and, you know, doing everything else, but that left the content team, who would become the DLC team, with nothing to do, so they just started working on the DLC in June. So it's not like this is anything they withheld.
Look, see, here's my problem. These are, okay, maybe they're valid, but these are excuses. They're excuses why we have Day 1 DLC. If you have the Activision guy come out and say, yeah, there's going to be DLC on Day 1 because we thought that we could kind of, you know, sell this immediately and make some money, everyone would be pissed.
Well, yeah, and if they said we could sell it immediately and make some money, I'd be pissed too. But they
actually, why do you care about the context? Do you really?
I was mad at first.
But why aren't you still mad? Because they said something?
Because they explained it, and it was satisfactory. Because
they gave you some.
Because
the BS was good enough.
Oh, screw off!
No, doesn't get by my smell detector.
Uh huh.
Still fishy to me.
There's a joke in there somewhere.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk first about Epic Mickey.
Now I'm in a bad mood. Why couldn't we have done this good stuff first?
I'm going to cheer you up now.
I know about it, but yeah, let's talk about Epic Mickey. Because Epic Mickey is going to make everything better.
Yes. Okay, so we saw the Game Informer cover and a few details have leaked. Next week is when the magazine should go live and we'll have even more details. But the long and short of it is, you know, there's this fantastic cover art from Game Informer out there. If you haven't seen it, go find it. What we've learned from the game, it is a Wii exclusive. There was some rumor waffling about that, like, it wasn't because Game Informer's website removed that part,
mm-hmm.
but it is. It's Wii exclusive. The basic story is that all the old and forgotten Disney characters, theme park attractions, everything, have been kind of banished to this, like, kind of evil, twisted land. And there, the leader of this land is none other than Oswald the Lucky Rabbit, who has had enough of living in Mickey Mouse's shadow, and he sent, what's it called? The Dark Blot? Am I screwing that up?
Sure, whatever. I don't know.
Yeah,
this thing into Mickey's world to basically screw everything up, removing the color from things, just getting, like, black sludge all over the place. So it's up to Mickey to use, like, paint thinner and erasers and pencils and all this crazy stuff to fix the world and stop Oswald. And it looks freaking incredible. I am so excited for this game.
Even Mickey, like, has this kind of crazy art style, it looks like.
Yeah, they're being very careful with the reveal of Mickey's face because apparently it's kind of a redesign for me. It looks a lot more retro.
Hmm. I mean, it does look fantastic as well. Like, ever since we saw that first screenshot, the first concept art or whatever it was that they put out months ago, that, like, whatever it leaked or whatever it is. Yeah, it looks great, but personally, I think people are getting a little bit too worked up over this. I mean, we still don't know a damn thing about this game.
Doesn't matter.
Other than basic premise. Okay, this is Mickey, and this is this sort of dark, kind of steampunk-esque world. Like, that's all we know. We don't know a damn thing about the gameplay or the storyline or even how the actual game is going to look. All we've gotten so far is concept art. We don't know enough about this game for there to be as much hype as there is about this game already.
You're right, I kind of agree with you, but passionately I disagree. I don't know.
Yeah, You make sense, but you see, you may not know this, but we are very, 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 very big Disney fans.
Yeah, we are.
I mean, you know, it reminds me of when Kingdom Hearts was announced, where, like, at first all we heard was, like, oh, Mickey and Donald are going to be fighting with, like, Final Fantasy characters, and we're like, what? That sounds incredible. And that ended up being pretty good, so I'm willing to give him another pass here.
I mean, it's Warren Spector.
Yeah,
it's not like, I mean, this is just nobody. That definitely adds to it.
And, Game Informer had this video interview with him where, like, this guy is a Disney nut, and I had no idea.
Yeah,
he has so much cool memorabilia and stuff, and so I feel this game is in very capable hands.
Mm-hmm. Right, but no, I want to see the game, you know? Yeah, like, yeah, well, the concept art has wowed me so far.
I started my Game Informer subscription today, actually.
Yeah, so, but, you know, and you know what, if this pans out, this will be a pretty big exclusive for the Wii.
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
I mean, probably their first big third-party exclusive since.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's telling that none of the three of us can't think of the last one.
There had to be something. I mean,
probably
something that didn't tank. Not one of those Sega games like Mad World, so I didn't do well.
Like something that's actually
not No More Heroes.
I think that's a whole other subject that we're kind of creeping into.
True.
Yeah, we're getting off track. Anyways, yay, okay. Epic Mickey.
And now for this week's big reveal.
That we almost weren't going to talk about, apparently.
Yeah, I know. After we brought this up 5 weeks ago as a wouldn't it be cool if, it has been confirmed that coming to Xbox Live Arcade, PlayStation Network, and Steam, is a brand new, not a remake, a brand new Rocket Knight.
Where did this come from?
I don't know.
This is like one of those things where like they do it and I'm like, did they do this for me? I didn't even know anyone else still knew what Rocket Knight was.
Well, apparently there's this guy at Konami, an American producer, who's been trying to get this done for years. And he finally got the treatment to a point where Konami said, all right, fine, go ahead.
Well, you also have to think about the fact that it's Konami. What else they really got going on?
Yeah, seriously. It's 2.5D, very classic gameplay. The story actually sounds really good.
Really intense, like, background, and it's, like, about racism.
It's actually set, like, 15 years after the last game, which is how long ago it's been.
Amusing.
It's crazy. What I absolutely loved is when I was reading the article in 1UP about this, one of the things they're really focusing on is a facial animation system for Sparkster. Like, it's cool to hear that, like, that's what they're focusing on, to make this character, like, as cool as you remember him as a kid.
Right. Mm-hmm. I think they need to get those original games out there, though.
I'm sure they'll start popping up on Virtual Console.
It wouldn't shock me at all.
I never knew that the Super Nintendo one was a completely different game. I thought it was just a port of the Genesis version.
Yeah, they're both called Sparkster. What the heck?
They
can't pull that on me.
I know. That's why I never played it, so I really want to play that.
Right, because Genesis Sparkster is the one that starts off and you're in a giant robot, right?
Yeah.
Oh,
that
man.
Game is sweet.
Those games are awesome.
One thing they said they're focusing on is they realized when they were playing the old games that, like, past the first world, you were kind of discouraged from using your rocket pack all that much because the camera's so close and you couldn't really see where you're going. Mm. So they're kind of pulling the camera out a bit, and widescreen helps with this, of course, too. So, like, they want to make the rocket more usable in the game. And I don't know, just, like, everything about this just sounds too perfect. I'm way excited by this.
I know. I hope we get more. I love just, like, all these new 2D games based on old franchises.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think that the downloadable services like XBLA and PSN and Steam, they really are a place to put out these type of games. I mean, companies don't have to have a huge team working on these, and they can kind of churn them out pretty fast. And I think it's kind of a genre that, with all the 3D and everything that's been going on, it's something that's really been forgotten, and it kind of halfway got brought back when Shadow Complex came out. And I loved Shadow Complex.
Mm-hmm. Oh, me too. Well, I mean, just think of, I mean, we've had a new 2D Mario, a new, you know, 2D Mega Man, this. There's going to be that Project Needle Mouse or whatever. Mm-hmm. The whole rebirth or whatever thing that Konami's been doing with Contra and eventually Castlevania. You know, it's sort of a big thing now. There's Bionic Commando Rearmed. I approve.
I do too. These have all been very good games, really.
Yeah, they have been.
All right. So, yeah, there's the news for the week.
So, I don't know. What are you excited? This isn't an official either or, but what has you more excited, AJ? The Rocket Knight or Epic Mickey?
I lean a little more towards Epic Mickey. I mean, I have hanging over my bed this, like, canvas print of Oswald the Rabbit I got when the Disney store was going out of business, and it was, like, $2.99 on clearance. And that thing became a million times cooler learning that he's going to be the main villain of this thing. I really want to know who's going to do his voice.
Did you watch...
That's my big concern.
Did you watch that, I have the one, like, DVD collection with all the old Oswald cartoons in it.
No, I haven't gotten to ever see that yet.
And it's got the one documentary on Ub Iwerks.
Yeah, I need to see that.
Now, that's pretty sweet. All right, why don't we do the quiz then?
Yeah,
it's time for the Great American Nash Guy Gaming Quiz. We've got five questions and a bonus question. They're each worth 1 point. You need 5 points to win. We got a Kingdom Hearts theme today because I'm kind of on a kick. I just beat Kingdom Hearts 358 over 2 days. I got the name down finally. Okay.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Stupid name. Anyways, so the first question: name the villain from the first Kingdom Hearts.
I own this game.
Wait. This is my answer yet, Derek. Isn't it like Ansel or something like that? Is that right?
No.
I think that's it.
I know what character you're thinking of. His name is Axel.
No. Whose diaries were you finding? Weren't they Ansel's?
I played that game for about half an hour.
Okay. I'm going to go with Ansel.
It's Ansem.
Damn. It was close.
Question 2. Name the villain from Kingdom Hearts 2.
Oh, fuck. Christopher Lee.
Yeah.
Hang on. I can't remember his name. Do you know?
I'm trying to think.
He's looking it up or something.
No, I'm definitely not.
Better not.
We are honest men.
No,
I'm surprised all these people are so honest. I would have cheated the first time I was doing this. Well, every time I have a guest, they don't cheat. All right.
I don't know any individual person. I just know that they were fighting against Organization 13.
Yeah, but there was like that guy that Christopher Lee was the voice of. I think
that's not a bad... I didn't even know. No. This guy's the leader of Organization 13. How about that for a clue?
Is it Axel?
No, it's Zemnis.
Oh, okay.
Which is, well, that's, it's an anagram of Ansem with an X in it.
No, you...
Oh.
All right, question 3. Ansem is a blank, while Zemnis is a blank.
Heartless and a nobody.
There we go.
Okay.
I'm shocked you knew that.
No, I totally got that. I understand the whole heartless nobody relationship.
You got all that. Okay, question 4. Name Kairi's Heartless.
It has to be an anagram of her name with an accent.
You know, she's actually the only one where it's not.
God damn it!
I don't know why.
Well, I don't know.
It doesn't have an X in it. There's a clue.
What? Rika?
Namine.
Oh, fuck. I knew that.
Okay. Question 5. Who is Yensid's apprentice?
Mickey?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Okay, bonus question. You can salvage 3 points from this. Who is the 13th member of Organization 13?
Roxas?
Yes.
Yay! All right. I'll take that.
You gotta play Kingdom Hearts 2 someday, AJ.
I know.
God. Okay. Time for either or. Initially, we have 10 things to go through. You have to pick one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be grading you guys, judging you, giving you points. Then at the end, there's the lightning round with an additional 5 more either ors. And then at the end, we'll tally up the results and we'll see who wins. So, AJ, you'll go first.
Okay.
First either or. Retro revival or HD revival? So, Mega Man 9 as opposed to something like this Rocket Knight thing.
Commando. Okay.
Well, Bionic Commando is more of a remake.
That's a tough choice. I'm going to go with HD revival. I mean, I think it's the retro revivals are cool. I like Mega Man 9 immensely, but I just feel like it's easier to kind of do some new and interesting things with the gameplay in an HD revival. Like, when you hear about the things, like I said, the facial animation system they're really focusing on for Rocket Knight, like, stuff like that I think is really cool. And, you know, it's like, if I really want to play the same gameplay in that style, I can get on Virtual Console or a ROM or bust out my Genesis or whatever and still play those. So, yeah, I'll go with HD revival.
All right, how about you, Derek?
I'm just going to go with, just to kind of counteract here, I'm going to go with Retro Revival. Just purely because I completely even like counteracting everything that AJ said here. I think it's great because they can bring back the type of gameplay that all of us were used to as a kid and really give us new things to play rather than just bring stuff out on Virtual Console. Like AJ said, you can actually give you brand new adventures in this theme that we all remember, in this gameplay style, without having to have, you know, 2-year turnaround times on these things. I mean, you can have a smaller team working on these, and with a smaller team, you know that if they're working on this type of game, they love this type of game and they can really put a lot of care into it.
Sounds for the record, I like both. I just had to pick.
Oh, I'm the same way.
All right, next up. Derek, this time starts with you. Kind of a game packing thing. Art book or soundtrack?
Ooh. I'm going to go with soundtrack just because an art book to me is something you look at once and then toss it on shelf. A soundtrack is something you can, if you enjoy the music of the game, you will end up going back and listening to it over and over again, even if it's just background music. Like I said, I have several art books, and I literally looked at them the first time I opened them and haven't touched them since.
AJ.
I agree with Derek for pretty much the exact same reasons. Plus, I mean, I've always been buying movie soundtracks, and since game soundtracks started getting good, I've been buying those. Also, Mike, guess what game soundtrack I bought yesterday?
What?
Uncharted.
Oh, nice.
I'll burn you a copy this weekend.
Yeah, do that for me. Sweet. Anyways, okay. AJ. Oh, my. In-game item or swag? Which bonus kind of pre-order thing do you like better?
I'm trying to think of specific examples of swag that I've liked.
Well, I mean, art book or soundtrack would be swag.
Yeah, so I'm going to go with swag. Because the thing is, usually these in-game items you do get as a pre-order bonus are nothing too substantial, because they can't really break the balance of the game. Like, I don't really care that I'm not going to get a Tenacious D guitar in Brutal Legend.
Right, but on the flip side, if you go to Best Buy and pre-order it, you get that really cool kind of, like, vinyl case to put your game in.
And, yeah, that I think is much cooler. So, yeah, I'm going to go with swag.
Derek?
I'm going to go with neither, because pre-order bonuses are bullshit.
You got to pick one. Man, if you do not, if you don't want a huge point reduction, you better pick one.
Oh, God. well, I'm going to go with swag then, because you can actually, it's something tangible, just that alone.
All right. Start with Derek. Epic Mickey, great idea or greatest idea?
Just because we don't know any details about the game yet, as of yet, I'm going to say great idea.
AJ?
I am now going to take the lead and say greatest idea.
That's favoritism.
No, I'm not.
That's
you have
the
no
right
idea.
Answer,
trust me. Either or is always an uphill battle for Edge guy.
Yeah, I know. It doesn't make it easy for me.
I am not inclined to let AJ win anything, especially where the point system is arbitrarily made up by me on the go.
But anyway, you know, I mean, when I first heard about, even years ago, let's go back further. When I just heard Warren Spector is making a Mickey Mouse game, I was thinking like, oh, maybe this will be kind of like a spiritual sequel to Mickey Mania. And I was happy about that. Just to see how bold they're being with it, and just hearing how just amazing the concept sounds to me. Yeah, that's like the greatest idea ever.
It's still in concept, though.
I know.
But what a concept.
It's beautiful in my mind.
All right. AJ. October 13th. Uncharted 2 or Brutal Legend?
I was initially leaning towards Brutal Legend, but now I am... The first game that will be hitting any system in my house is going to be Uncharted 2.
Did you?
I am.
Oh, you just you finally beat it, right?
Yeah, I was going to bring that up.
Yeah,
later.
You'll talk about that later. Yeah, you'll talk about that later. But now you're pretty psyched.
Yeah. Suffice to say.
Good. Derek.
This is almost unfair because I don't own a PS3, but okay. I have a strange answer. I'm going to say Uncharted, even though I will probably buy Brutal Legend before Uncharted, even if I had a PS3, because it's not a genre that I normally go for, but having seen gameplay from both, Uncharted just trumps it. I mean, absolutely. The value that went into the work, just it trumps it.
I see what you mean there. Like, Brutal Legend, it looks... Like, I don't want to, you know, bag down Brutal Legend.
It's going to be great.
It's going to be great, but... It's going to be great. It's not an... graphically, it's not an amazing-looking game.
No, but I don't think... Yeah. At the same time, I don't think they...
It doesn't need to be.
They didn't try to make it hyper-realistic.
No, they didn't. It's not Call of Duty, and, yeah, it's fine. All right. Okay, we'll start with Derek this time. Gran Turismo or Forza?
Ooh, that's a tough one. And again, considering I don't own a PS3.
Well, you can just even think about old Gran Turismos.
It's tough.
Just whatever one you like more, series-wise.
I don't think we know enough about the new Gran Turismo yet to, besides the fact that it's actually coming out. Did they say March?
Yeah.
Now? I'm going to go with I'm going to go with Forza. Primarily because of the community aspects of it, where you can go in and create cars, create tuning setups, and sell them on an online store. They have an auction house. I just think the sense of community behind the whole game is a lot stronger in Forza than in Gran Turismo.
AJ.
Yeah, I go Forza. I've talked about this before, but like I've always hated Gran Turismo. I could never get into it. I could never figure it out. I'm terrible at it. But then I remember trying the original Forza, and for some reason I liked it, like, a lot. I like the way it does a great job of integrating the online with the single-player experience. Forza 2, which I got, I friggin' adored. Like Derek said, like the car customization stuff is like a game unto itself. It's way fun. And I'm not even that good at it. I just made a couple simple designs and had a blast. The way they do with the driving assist, with the line that shows you where to go, makes me able to actually play the game. I even got the 360 wheel from my girlfriend at the time for my birthday when I was really into it, and I just really like it. So yeah, Forza.
Okay, AJ, Left 4 Dead 2 or Modern Warfare 2?
Modern Warfare 2. Again, I'm looking very forward to both. But like while I feel both games are in a way more of the same. Really, what's clinching it for me is that reveal trailer they had last week where you saw like war-torn DC. Which immediately conjured up images of Fallout 3 in my head, and anything that can do that is a good thing in my mind. Plus, like, this, from what I understand, the co-op experience is actually really good, like, unexpectedly good. And, you know, Call of Duty has very solid multiplayer, and it looks great, so yeah, I'm going to go with that.
Derek.
You keep hitting me in the shooter genre, which I'm not a fan of, but I'm also going to say Modern Warfare 2, just because, as AJ said... Both games are going to be kind of more of the same, but I feel like you're going to get more of an immersive experience from Modern Warfare 2, whereas no matter how much they change in Left 4 Dead, you always know what it's going to be. You're going to be running through an abandoned town shooting zombies, trying to survive. Modern Warfare 2 has a lot more opportunity for storytelling, and I think it has... It definitely has more... diversity as far as the multiplayer, whether it be with co-op or online, but I'd say Modern Warfare 2.
It almost kind of comes down to do you like a more guided, scripted experience, or do you like more emergent storytelling? Because I think both games excel at their respective field in that.
All right, Derek, this would be a great question considering you don't have a PS3 and hate shooters. Resistance or Killzone?
Great. Considering I've never touched either one of them nor seen live gameplay of either one of them.
All right. Just my concept then. Maybe one has a prettier name.
Oh, God. I'm going to say probably Killzone, because I'm going to say Killzone strictly based on the gameplay videos that I saw, and I think it's a better experience, not only graphically, but I think it seems like the gameplay is a lot more smooth.
You dodged a bullet there. AJ.
Yeah, I'll say Killzone. I've never played Resistance 2, actually. I played the first one. It always felt to me like a PC shooter that was just thrown on a console. It was kind of too fast. Wasn't really tuned to the controller. And I don't know, it was just kind of bland. Killzone is actually really good. My save file is locked on your PS3, and I can't put it on mine, which is really annoying because I do want to finish that game. But, you know, it's really gorgeous, played well. I didn't have a problem with the controls like a lot of people did. And the multiplayer was good until everybody got to a higher level than me and got, like, the way better unlocks, and it just kind of became impossible for me to play it. But while everyone was on even ground, it was really good.
Okay, AJ, the original Xbox or the GameCube?
Which one had Knights of the Old Republic again?
That would be Xbox.
Okay, I'm going to go with that.
Right.
I loved Knights of the Old Republic almost more than any game last generation, except for, like, Metal Gear Solid 3. I loved the Halo games, and I liked Xbox Live a lot. I mean, I don't want to discredit things like Super Mario Sunshine and Wind Waker. Those are fantastic games as well, but I'm going to go Xbox.
Derek?
I'm going to go with Xbox as well, just primarily because of the last thing that AJ mentioned, Xbox Live. I mean, where would we be today without the creation of Xbox Live? And also because my only successful online gaming experiences ever were on Xbox Live with one game. I've only ever been good online with one game. And it was over.
What was that?
It was actually, you guys are probably going to laugh at this one. Lynx 2004. It's a golf
game. That was a great game.
I was okay. If I can, I don't want to toot my own horn too much here, but you know, you remember how they had the online leaderboards for that, right?
Right, right.
I was ranked 43rd in the world.
Wow.
So I came home from work and I played that game for 6 hours straight every night.
I lost my copy of that game. Is it backwards compatible?
Yes, because I have a copy.
I need to track down a copy because that's
still
like the best golf game. It's so good.
Yeah.
It's such a great golf game.
You chose the Xbox because of a golf game?
No, I chose the Xbox because of Xbox Live, because it was one of the most innovative things ever to come into video gaming.
You both lost that one big. You both.
Also, the Xbox had Crimson Skies, which was awesome.
That was also a good game. Although, to retain a couple points, I currently own a GameCube, and I bought it less than a year ago.
Did you play Wind Waker?
Yes.
Did you like Wind Waker?
Yeah. But then I also...
Pretty good, huh?
One of the main games I bought it for, though, was Tales of Symphonia.
Ah! Tales of Symphonia! One of the rare RPGs, at least when I played it, yeah, that I actually beat.
I probably will never beat it, just because I've started and stopped it about four times now. And the latest time I stopped it was about 3 months ago, and it was about 10 hours into the game.
Right.
So I don't think I want to play 10 hours over again.
Right. Did you ever get past, like, the first world map?
No.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Speaking of RPGs, Derek, Square pre-Enix merger or post-Enix merger?
Oh, pre-Enix.
Or Enix or whatever.
Pre-Enix merger. There's no, absolutely no, argument there. Since the merger, they've gone downhill. I think primarily because a lot of the original Square upper brass left in the middle of the merger, and a lot of the Enix people took over, which is weird because before pre-merger, the Enix games were also very, very good. But since the merger, it's like they've kind of watered both companies' franchises down, and they kind of don't know what to do with what they have, and they don't know what to do with any new franchises. So pre-merger, definitely.
Yeah, they have at least one big new franchise since the merger.
Kingdom Hearts, yeah.
At least I think. That was 2002. When was the merger exactly?
I was going to ask you, what Final Fantasy came out post-merger? What was the first one to come out?
Was it 10?
Was it 9 or 10?
I think it was 10.
I wonder if 10 even made it, actually. Because 10's like 2001, right? I feel like this...
The merger happened on April 1st, 2003.
2003? Okay,
yeah.
No, then it was 12 was the first one.
Yeah, so 10 made it out.
Yeah, Kingdom Hearts 1 was still Square then, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, I didn't realize it was that late. For some reason, I thought it was sooner.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, no, it was just, it seems like ever since that happened, that's when they went, like, kind of Final Fantasy remake crazy.
Mm-hmm. Well, they were always kind of like that.
Yeah, but it got worse.
Yeah, we used to not get as many here.
Yeah, by the way, my vote is pre-merger as well.
Yeah.
The
funny thing about that is that a lot of, what a lot of people don't notice is that Enix actually absorbed Square.
Yeah.
So, I mean, a lot of people were more familiar with the Square name, and they figured, okay, they were the bigger company. But the whole reason that merger happened is because Square was in real financial trouble. And it was all because of that stupid Final Fantasy Spirits Within movie.
Yeah, that's pretty much what tanked
them. That is what caused the merger, because Square and Enix were rivals and until they put out that movie, but they spent so much money on that flop of a movie that they had to go turn to the merger.
What were they thinking with that piece of shit? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
There are bad movies, and there's just... there's that. God. Yeah. Then there's movies that, like, yeah, have, like, consequences that they're so bad.
But, yeah, like, you know, I think the competition between Square and Enix was really healthy.
Yes, it definitely was.
And ever
was.
Since that happened, there is no competition, really. I mean, who compete? Like, maybe... Lately, you could say level 5.
Well, they're really
stepping it up as of late, and that's about they're getting there. Like
in Japan and stuff, the Tales of games are kind of competition, but yeah. They don't have to try very hard.
When you see level 5 getting the Studio Ghibli deal, and that game looks really good, by the way.
Yeah, that does look pretty sweet.
I'm hoping they get good just to light a fire under Square Enix's ass, because I mean, you know, you could talk all day about the fact that Final Fantasy 14 might be 13 out the door. I mean, there's a huge problem going on in that company right now. And, yeah, like, you know, back in the day, and it wasn't even just Final Fantasy. You got great games like Einhander, Tobal. Is that the one I'm thinking
Tobal?
Of? The fighting game was decent.
Yeah.
You know, they had more stuff. And really, it just seems like they're Dragon Quest and Final Fantasy, and they put out some, you know, everyone calls them these B-list RPGs, Last Remnant, Infinite Undiscovery, that no one gives a shit about. Mm-hmm. Some people play them, enjoy them, and that's fine, but on the whole, nobody cares.
Although, side note, that Crystal Bearers looks surprisingly decent, doesn't
it? Yeah, I like the trailer for it.
Too. I think that, yeah, I might agree with you. I agree with you guys. I think they can hopefully turn it around pretty quickly. Like, you know, when they make a real Final Fantasy or whatever, you know, those are still good, usually. I mean, I guess there's only been about one since this happened, but...
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay, lightning round.
Woo!
5 more. You set the... No turns. You have to answer as quickly as possible. That counts for points as well, so gotta be fast. All right, everybody ready?
Ready.
Sure.
All right. Marks, get set. Go. Ren or Stimpy?
Ren.
HBK or Triple H?
Triple H.
HBK.
Oh, okay. Oh, actually,
Cardinals
shit.
Or Dodgers?
Dodgers.
Dodgers.
Mode 7 or Blast Processing?
Mode 7.
Mode 7.
Trick or Treat?
Trick.
All right. Final score is 5-6. Adge guy.
Yes.
Son of a bitch.
HBK did it. I'm sorry.
Yes. Well, I knew it. I knew it.
I know. As soon as I said Triple H, I was like, oh shit! I should have said old Triple H.
No, that wouldn't have helped you.
Nah.
No. I got it. I have a picture of HBK in my room.
Well, I have a picture of Triple H, so I guess we're even.
Oh, sweet. He actually, when I did this, I'm like, I wonder if this guy even knows who these people are.
No, I'm a longtime wrestling fan, so.
Oh, that's very cool.
I haven't been watching it as much now. But yeah,
see, I'm like the opposite of most people. Like, I actually didn't watch it as much back then, but like for the past 4 years, I haven't missed a show.
No, I grew up on Hulk Hogan, so.
Right, okay. Like, I watched it, like, in 98 or whatever, when everyone did for, like, that 1 year. But now I watch it all the time. I'm going there in Pittsburgh. The next pay-per-view's there. We'll be there.
Woo!
That'll be fun. Yep.
Nice. Yeah, well, a pay-per-view is the one thing I haven't been to yet. I've been to a Raw and a SmackDown, but never to a pay-per-view.
I got to go to a couple years ago.
Armageddon.
Well, yeah, I've been to a couple pay-per-views, but I got to go to WrestleMania 23 a couple years ago.
Ooh, yeah.
And that was really cool.
I think a friend of mine went to a WrestleMania, but he also went to, if you guys remember the New Year's Revolution when Edge won his first world title.
Oh, man, yeah.
My friend was in the front row, and any replay you see of that, if you go on YouTube and watch the replay of that, you can see him. He's wearing a yellow hoodie or like a yellow fleece in the front row.
That directly, is right around the time I started watching.
Yeah, he directly behind Edge. It's the funniest thing.
That was one of the coolest things that happened in wrestling.
Yeah,
and like since I Yeah, like that was like literally when I started watching wrestling. It was actually the SmackDown versus Raw 2006 game that got me into it. Like my one friend who did like wrestling was like, "You have to play this," and I'm like, "Who are all these wrestlers now?"
That was a good game.
See what they do. That was the best one. I think.
Yeah.
I liked that one a lot. I don't know what's missing from these newer ones. You know what? They changed the submission system since. Like, that one just had, like, you know, smash the buttons to put on the submission. And ever since then, it's different. I don't know how it works.
I don't know. Those games still, to me, feel like the first Madden, where it's, like, the same game engine, just with higher polygon models. They need to reinvent it.
Yeah, you know, the 2007 one, the first, like, next generation one wrestling game, that looks pretty good. Because, like, okay, yeah, now it's in HD. But it hasn't looked very good since then.
The animations are janky and everything. They just need to do it from scratch for the next gen, finally.
Right.
But they make a ton of money from it, so they're probably not going to.
Yeah, they do make a lot of money from those. All right. So that's it for Either Or, the fourth edition, I might add.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, very, very nice. Very good. All right. Our week in gaming. AJ, we'll let you go. I want to hear your Uncharted stuff.
Right, I finally,
oh, so good! I can't
finally
believe I didn't
have beat Uncharted. Yeah, what you just said. I mean, I know it's good. I just needed to finally sit down and play it because this is my third start of it. Because I started it on your PS3 when you guys were the only ones who had one. Then I got my own PS3, and it got stolen. No, then I started it over on your PS3 because I couldn't remember where I left off. I just wanted to start from the beginning. Then I got my own PS3, and I finally started on that, and I've beaten it. So, yes. I mean, there's not too much to be said that's new. It's absolutely phenomenal. I loved every moment of it, including the end.
Now, do you mean, like, the shift in the end, or even, like, the... Well, first, did you like the shift where it got a little bit more supernatural?
I thought it was fine. It really changed up the gameplay for me, and I enjoyed it.
What about Right, go ahead.
You know, it got legitimately creepy. I thought the design for these things was really cool. I liked their origin. I liked where they came from. It all made sense. And, yeah, you know, it was fun. And then the very final encounter, I don't know what people wanted. I don't know if they wanted a boss fight. I think that would have been the worst thing ever.
Yeah, I don't know what people... I can understand why some people maybe don't like the kind of slight twist towards the end. I don't know what the problem with the final boss is.
Oh, it's perfect. It's like there's no better way to end the game.
I think people
the only thing I might say is that they didn't need to give me the QTE buttons on the screen. That's what I was gonna do.
I think that's it. I think just because the very last thing you did was a QuickTime event sequence, and this was like the height of QuickTime events are evil now.
Yeah,
and I'm not saying QuickTime events are great, but I'm not saying we have to, like, you know, as soon as we see a QuickTime event, shun a boss.
But
forever.
It was.
It makes
sense. It was what I would have done. It was just a melee combo.
Right.
It was square, triangle, square. And, you know, the way that they kind of, like, very subtly scripted that moment so that... I'm going to spoil it a bit here. By the time you got to him, like, to go actually punch him, that's when he had to reload. They were able to time that out. And then, like, after he goes for the gun the second time, I really felt like I had to run over and stop him and barely got there in time. And, you know, it's just... It's so good. And then that final cinematic, that sunrise, like, I know it's a weird thing to say, but I've never seen such a good-looking sunrise in a video game. It was awesome.
Not the one at the end of Shinobi, I think. Or was it Ninja Gaiden? Where he's standing on the cliff looking at the sunrise. I don't know, whatever. Anyways.
But did you, like, actually watch all the making of things on the disc?
No, I don't think so.
No, yeah, there's two parts of a making of featurette. That's really cool. They have three, like, specific ones about, like, the facial animation technology, the motion capturing, and the animation systems. And then they have three of the cutscenes where they have, like a four-way view. So you can see the actors recording the cutscenes with the mocap suits on, the rough animation, and the final animation. It's really awesome.
You'll have to bring that back to me.
Yeah, I'll give it to you this weekend. I'm done with it now. You can have it back.
Yeah, good. I'll have it back just in time for... Uncharted 2 to come out.
But yeah, like I said, I mean, I finished the game. I was desperately digging around the disc to find all this stuff. I looked at every piece of concept art on that disc, which some of it's really, really good. I immediately went to iTunes. I bought the soundtrack. And I started playing the multiplayer demo for Uncharted 2 a lot more.
I do enjoy that demo.
I am ready for Uncharted 2 now. I'm very psyched.
I'm quite pumped, too, as you might know.
Yes. Other than Uncharted, the other big thing I did this week is I started tearing into the Need for Speed Shift demo. Nice. And was very pleasantly surprised by what I found. Because, I mean, I when you hear it's a Need for Speed game, that kind of clouds your judgment a bit. And, mm-hmm. I knew they were going for, like, a kind of Forza Gran Turismo sort of thing, but it's their first time doing it. How good could it be? And this game does a lot of things right, at least in this demo.
Yep.
I like very much how when you go to start a track, your coach kind of takes you through, like, a video flyby and explains to you, this is a really tricky turn. This is what you're going to need to do when you hit it. This is a good place to pass somebody. Like, so I felt like I had a sense of what I was doing. And their cockpit view is awesome. The way it actually, you could feel the camera shift with G-forces, and when you slam the brakes, you can feel it push forward a bit. If you get in a crash, it does this really great effect to obscure your vision. Mm-hmm. There was one point in a race where I was, you know, trying to cut a tight line. I missed, hit a wall, and was still driving, but like I couldn't see, and I was almost kind of like driving by instinct. It was weird how I managed to get out of this. But the moment that really did it for me was I was playing the second track of the demo, Spa something or other. It's in Germany. And it starts off with this really interesting kind of corner. And the first time I did it in one of the smaller cars, I was able to hit it perfectly. I got through it. When I was doing the higher class car, one of the AI just drove me off the road. And I crashed into a barrier. And what happened is my front hood got crumpled right in my line of view. So I couldn't really see the road. And I could have changed the camera angle, but I'm really stubborn about these things. I like to stay in the first person in a racing game like this. Mm-hmm. And so I'm actually sitting there, like, craning my neck, like this is going to help me see over this break in my hood. And I'm trying to race. I'm doing okay. Then, again, someone else ran me off the road. I crashed into a wall. It damaged even further. And when I hit up to speed, the wind just knocked the hood off the car. And I was like, oh, thank Christ, I can see again. And then I was able to, now being able to see, get through, catch up to the pack, and barely won the race. Mm-hmm. And it was just this very exciting moment. And so after I played it, I actually found myself, well, shit, do I want this or do I want Forza? Because I really couldn't decide. And after a Twitter conversation with some of the squad guys, I'm still leaning towards Forza for things like the car editor and the community that's on it and things like that. I'm probably going to end up getting Shift eventually, like maybe after it hits a price drop. But, you know, it's cool, because, like, Forza runs at a very smooth, solid 60 frames per second. It looks very clean. This game, it's a 30, but, like, you know, what everyone calls a solid 30. I don't know what that means, but it is. Mm. It's got a bit of a grittier feel to it, and, you know, I was very impressed by it. So I'm definitely going to get it eventually.
Yeah, I mean, I was curious. Like, I played the game. I was able to Bitmob.com actually sent me to a press event in New York City for this game.
That's right. You did talk about that.
Yeah. So I was able to play the game kind of, and they gave us full reign with the game too. They're like, okay, any track, any car, go. And I was kind of curious from that. Like, what do they have available in the demo?
The demo, it's there's four cars. It says you can unlock a fifth one by getting 10 stars, but I don't think it was keeping track of the stars for the sake of the demo, because I never was able to unlock it, even though I got them. The one track that I was talking about, the Spa something or other, and the other one was a race through the streets of London.
Okay.
And,
I'm assuming they had, like, four different cars of different classes. And
yeah,
and
yeah.
Yeah, I know when I first picked up the game, like, just like you, you know, I was... The last Need for Speed game that I was a fan of was Most Wanted.
Yeah, me too.
And ever since then, I just felt like they went downhill. And then when I first heard they were going into the more realistic, of course, I was instantly skeptical, because I'm thinking, okay, first of all, this isn't what you guys do. Second of all, why are you trying to compete with Forza? But I was like you when I first picked up the game. This was literally my experience. I walked in. I was one of the first people in there. I went over to a TV. One of the guys from EA handed me a controller. The game was actually on pause. It wasn't even on one of the menus. It was on pause. He handed me the controller and said, go. Didn't tell me a thing about the game. Said, go. So I unpaused it. It was right in the middle of a race. And it was one of the older, like, there was like a 70s classic Skyline in there. Mm-hmm. And I actually managed to finish the race without crashing, which for me, having played Forza and similar games, like I played Grid in the past, I suck at sim racers. Mm-hmm. And just the fact that I was able to finish the race without crashing, and I actually won the race, I was immediately surprised. And it was a pleasant surprise because I'm used to, I guess I'm used to sim racers being more punishing. And
this one's not.
This one's not. It does feel like it's a little bit more forgiving.
Forgiving
yeah. of the new player. But unfortunately, because of that, it's getting a lot of flack, and I don't know how well it's going to do in sales because you get the whole argument, who is this game for?
Yeah, I was going to say, like the hardcore sim racers aren't going to like that.
Nope.
And but the fact that it is going after that market is going to turn off the casual, like, burnout players.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I do kind of worry about what kind of market this game will find. I also understood, too, from reading Garnet Lee's review on 1UP, that as you get to these higher-tier cars, the physics model kind of breaks down a bit. Like, it doesn't handle them as well. I mean, I don't get into all the minutiae of these games,
yeah,
but
I mean,
he did say that as a concern.
Yeah, Garnet's definitely, like, a more of a hardcore sim racer player. And I guess it may err more on the side of being fun than being realistic.
Yeah. See, that was a breakthrough I had when we were talking about Forza and Gran Turismo. That was kind of a breakthrough I had with myself. I don't need to get so good at Forza that I turn off every assist that I'm racing in manual with a clutch button.
Yeah.
Like, it's okay to play this game on easy or medium and have fun with it. When I finally told myself that, that's when I really started having more fun with these games.
Yeah.
And Shift just kind of appeals to that side of me more, where it's like, you know what, you don't need to pretend you're racing an extra car. You have a control in your hand, for crying out loud. Just, here's a really cool car, we're going to make you feel like a badass in it, have some fun.
Mm-hmm. Isn't this game kind of getting panned for problems with bugs and stuff?
Yeah, apparently there's a lot of glitches, not the least of which is the Xbox version of it trying to connect to the PlayStation
right.
Store.
We talked about that
last was pretty
week.
Funny, yeah.
Yeah, whoops.
All right.
Like I said, I think Need for Speed Shift 2 will be really good.
Yes, I do too.
And I hope they make it. The only thing I have, it's an iPhone game, Mike.
Oh,
brace
my God.
Yourself. But no, this is a really good one, actually. It's called iBlast Mochi. It's only 99 cents on sale right now, and I think usually it's $2. So regardless, go and buy this. What it is kind of got like this Rolando sort of art style. These little blob guys, and the way you move them around is you place bombs throughout the world, and you set a timer in the bombs, and you'd basically try to blast them from bomb to bomb to get them to an exit. It's like, you know, very, very physics-based, and it's really, really fun. I played it for like an hour today. Hmm. So I would highly recommend that to anyone with an iPhone. Oh, and God, I almost forgot about this completely. I got Lucidity.
How is that?
Lucidity is awesome as hell.
Because I was going to wait for reviews to see what people said about it. There was like one review for someone I don't know, and like IGN gave it a six something. I don't know.
Really? Well, I got my 800 free points from buying all the Sum of Arcade titles, so I had the points, and I was like, you know what? I want to support LucasArts doing this kind of stuff and not like a million crappy Star Wars games, so let's give them some money. And, you know, people have mentioned this in previews, but it's a very apt comparison. This game is like combining Lemmings with Tetris, where you've got that mechanic of, you know, she's constantly moving, you have no direct control over her, and all you can do is just drop items in her way, like spring shoes and flatboards and staircases, and it's all determined on which one's next in the corner. You can just drop stuff wherever to get to what you need, but when you're doing that, it becomes really frantic. You have, like, a spot where you can reserve an item to hold on to it and, you know, call it back. And so, yeah, I mean, in that regard, it works very, very well. The art style in this game is amazing. It's unlike anything you've seen. It's got this kind of watercolor, cardboard cutout kind of thing that's going on. Like, you see the opening cutscene, it almost looks like it's pre-rendered, but then it turns out that is the gameplay. That's how it looks. The music's absolutely gorgeous. It's got a really interesting kind of story to it. In a lot of ways, the storytelling, for some reason, reminds me of Flower. I think it's really because the music is kind of similar. But at least go check out the trial. And you should probably get it, because I think it's really, really good.
You said it's 800 points?
Yeah, it's only $10.
Okay.
Like, a lot of people were thinking 15 or 20. It's $10.
Okay.
Yeah, I gotta get to that.
So, yeah, that does it for me.
You're done? Okay. So, yeah, I spent most of my week going through Kingdom Hearts. 385 over 2 days.
58, I thought.
358, whatever. A lot of days over not as many days. And, you know, I kind of said before, like there's certain elements of the design that feel kind of cheap. Like, almost all of the levels you revisit are they're just kind of taken directly from Kingdom Hearts 1 or 2. There aren't any new Disney worlds that you go to, and some of them like are feeling pretty tired at this point. Like, you know, I'm pretty much good with Nightmare Before Christmas. You know, that was cool that we had that in Kingdom Hearts and whatnot. And it was, you know, oh, it's in Kingdom Hearts 2. It's in Chain of Memories. Now it's in this one. Okay, that's enough of that.
Plus, I never thought I'd hear you say that.
Yeah, that's a bit much. Yeah, you know, I get it. And even Aladdin, you know, that's one too many times for that. And it's not quite like the other Kingdom Hearts, because you're not... Because since like he's in a secret organization, he's not really interacting with the Disney characters. He's kind of hiding from them for the most part, with a few exceptions. So it's weird. So like the story isn't really being told during those missions so much as it kind of being told in between the missions. So it's kind
so
of
it's
more
very
that...
much play through the game, now watch a cutscene. Now play the game and watch a cutscene.
Yeah, a bit. And I mean, you can, you know, so it's not masterful game storytelling, I admit, but for Kingdom Hearts fans, it is a really cool story. I think it's a surprisingly well-told story. In the gameplay, it is fun. It really is a much... It's simpler than Kingdom Hearts 2 in that there's not nearly as many crazy, batshit moves that you can do. It's just, here's your attacks. That panel system that I was talking about last week where, like, you have, like, a Tetris-like grid of the items you can bring into battles with you that you have to set up, that is really cool. Like, even, like, the ways you have to, like, you can put, like, you have the grids that are level multipliers, so that you can put your level up panels on there and stuff like that. Just the way how that handles magic, equipment, your level, other stat bonuses, that is a really neat system. And Kingdom Hearts fans are going to they're going to really like going through the whole story and seeing all stuff. I think Roxas is a much more likable character than Sora, really. And you know what? It's sad, too. It's a sad story, which is kind of a nice change of pace for JRPGs. There aren't really happy endings here. Plus, remember the end of Kingdom Hearts 1, that secret video?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you finally get to play through that, and it's as cool as all hell.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, basically the whole time I'm playing the game, that's what I was thinking. Like, when am I going to do that? When am I going to do that? When am I going to carry two Keyblades? What am I going to... Plus, now I unlocked Sora. I mean, I unlocked Donald and Goofy in a multiplayer mode.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, stuff like that. So I still liked it. I won't apologize for it. I still thought it was pretty cool. I mean, for a portable game, it was good. It was 20 hours long, which I thought was pretty decent. Besides that, I did my first 10-man raid in World of Warcraft.
Congratulations.
Yes, we did. I ran Noxoramus.
Ooh, that's the big one. Nax. You hear everyone talking about their Nax runs.
Well, Nax used to be the big one. I think since Nax, they had Alador or whatever. And right now it's Tournament of Champions, and then, you know, everyone's getting ready for Ice Crown. That'll be
big. I don't even know you anymore.
Ice Crown's going to be the final Wrath of Lich King big dungeon, I think, because that'll be the Arthas one.
Oh, cool.
Get Arthas.
And a semi-related note, my 3-plus-year inactive WoW account got hacked twice in one day.
Oh, nice.
It got hacked twice?
Yeah. It got hacked once. I got an email saying that a credit card had been charged for a month of service, so I immediately went crazy and called Blizzard, who have fantastic customer service, by the way.
See, I couldn't find a number to call. All I could find was an email address, and it took forever.
Well, see, I got two separate emails. I got one from billing and one from the admin. The billing one is the one that has the email or the phone number on it.
See, because the thing is, whoever hacked my account had the courtesy to pay for it themselves.
Yeah, see, like that's what ended up happening with me is because I guess apparently because it was inactive for so long, my credit card wasn't still on there. I had the sense to delete that. They hacked my account, put in their own credit card, charged a month onto that, and then went on to Gold Farm. And then and then got my account banned.
Now, why did you get a billing email and I didn't? I wonder, because I didn't even know that my account was I think like I was like thinking about playing the game again, and I was like, oh, I have game time. Where did that come from? Then I went to log in. I was like, my password doesn't work.
See,
and then I got the email the next day that like you've violated the terms of use. So I'm like, what? No,
see,
I didn't.
See, something on me, like it had to be something on the inside because they didn't even change my password.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like I was able to still
log in. These are amateurs.
Yeah, like I was able to still log in. But see, here's the weird part. is that after I called Blizzard, they cleared everything. The guy fixed it. I was literally not counting the time I was on hold. I was on with the customer service guy for 3.5 minutes, and he fixed it, fixed everything.
You could tell they've done this a lot.
Yes. So he sent me, he goes, okay, so I'm going to reset your password, and I'm going to send it to you in an email. So he sends me, of course, it's this random, random number character password. I say, okay, I'm just going to leave it alone, whatever. I don't even care about this thing. I don't plan on ever playing WoW again. Not 6 hours later, I got another email saying my account had been banned again for the same for the same thing. I'm like, what in the hell is going on here? So I just sent an email this time. I still haven't heard back from them.
Ooh, maybe they got your email password.
No, I don't think so, because no. Because don't you think they would have changed the password on the WoW account?
I don't know, but that's the only thing I could think. They would get your that randomly generated password that you've never entered. Because it's not like you have a keylogger in your system then. I don't know. After my account got hacked, I changed, like, the important passwords. My email, well, my PayPal got hacked. I had to change that password, too, on a separate issue. Oh, yeah.
Oh, what is it now?
I'm telling you.
Anyways, I got to fight Kel'Thuzad, which is cool, because that's, like, a character from Warcraft 3 that I actually know.
Oh, good.
Although, you know, I never... A lot of the boss fights, I would usually die at some point, kind of watch the rest of it get played out. I'm still pretty low-geared for these things.
Right.
But, you know, it's cool, because some of the boss fights are pretty involved. Like, you just don't go in and hack at them. Like, the one guy, there's this weird part where, like, he would either charge you positive or negative, and if the positive people were on the same side as any of the negative people, then you would they would die. So you had to, like, make sure that... You know, all of your positive raiders were on the left and the negative ones were on the right side of the boss. You know, just like stuff like that.
See, I never mind stuff like that where, like, it's something random that happens, but you can figure it out pretty easily. But I never liked it when the boss has, like, you have to go online and get, like, a 5-page instruction manual on what to do when.
Right,
that's
yeah.
not very engaging to me.
I was like, I think I was the only one who hadn't done them before, so before every fight, and I was on vent even. So, yes, that's what has become
too?
Of me. Yeah, I know. I'm on vent.
Going up to
doing raids on WoW.
You need a job.
I know, I do. So every time before we did a boss fight, they would explain something to me, and I tried to understand it as best as I could. Usually I would do okay. But I got some sweet loot drops from my raids, from my DPS.
Alright, moving on. Would you play anything else?
Did I? I don't think so. I know Chris bought that South Park Tower Defense game. I haven't tried it yet.
Oh, I haven't tried the trial for it yet.
He was unusually excited to get it.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Right. You know what? I didn't talk about it last week, but I played Marvel Ultimate Alliance too.
Oh yeah.
I just want to say real quick. It's not as I still think it's pretty good. It's not as complicated. Maybe it's not as deep a game as the first one is.
And the deep one wasn't, or the first one wasn't very deep.
No, I thought the first one was surprisingly deep, actually.
Yeah, if you say so.
I thought those games were just fan service.
Yeah. Pretty much, yes. But I thought the first one had a surprisingly, you know, it was a Diablo 2, but for what it was. Marvel Ultimate Alliance 2 is more in the lines of the depth you would expect from a game like this. But from what it lacks in depth, it's definitely a much prettier game than the first one was.
That's good.
Except
for the first one, again, it suffered from that up-res last-gen port kind of thing.
Although the first one had much better CG, so whoever they got to do that instead, right? And Deadpool was hilarious in it, so it's fun still. That's all I wanted to say. All right. Is there anything else? I know you already talked about Need for Speed. What else you play, Derek?
Nothing really all that exciting because. Well, like you, I don't have a job right now, so I can't afford to be buying any of the new releases. So I kind of rely on Gamefly.
Nice.
So the title I most recently got from them that I've been playing through is UFC, which I'm really late to the party on, which I'm kind of pissed about because I actually watch UFC and I'm actually interested in it. I think it's kind of exceeded my expectations for this type of game. It's really strange. Like, I got to a point, I went through about 5 fights in career mode, and got a little tired of it and said, okay, this is really kind of the same thing over and over again. You know, there's really no point to it. And I put it down for like 2 days and was considering sending it back. But then this morning, I picked it up again and said, okay, let me give this another shot. I ended up playing it for between 3 and 4 hours today.
Hmm.
Wow. So it's actually a remarkably deep game. And have either of you played it?
I played the demo.
Okay. Then you at least know how complicated the game is.
Yeah, and my problem, I talked about it before, that I never got into the depth of it because I tried to go through the tutorial and the beginning of it is so mind-numbingly boring and I just gave up on it.
Yeah, but you really need to know all that stuff.
I know. I got that sense. That's the thing. You know what?
You need to know which direction to throw the right thumbstick to get out of what situation. And even I'm still learning this stuff. I'm probably not going to keep it for too much longer. I've had the game for a week and a half already. But it really does... It is really pretty good. You know, I did the whole create a character, start a career thing. I've got myself at my real weights in the proper weight class and everything. Went through all that, tried to make my character look like me for whatever reason. But I also put myself into that weight class because by some fluke, my favorite fighters from the UFC are in the weight class that I would be in.
Hmm.
So I threw myself in there and I get to face off against a bunch of them. Unfortunately, I think I'm now getting... Why? Who are my favorite fighters?
Yeah.
I'd say my two favorite fighters right now are Georges St-Pierre and... oh, crap. Of course, my mind goes blank now. Wow.
It's okay. I probably wouldn't recognize him anyways. But, I thought I might.
Yeah. I don't know why I can't think of him now. It'll come to me. But anyway, so they're in the welterweight division, which is the 170-pound weight class. So I threw myself in there and it's really getting to the point now where I can beat most guys kind of like, have either of you ever played any of the Fight Night games?
A little bit, like the demos of them.
I played the demo for that as well, but I didn't play the new demo they released where it's like, has the button controls added into it now.
Yeah. See, I'm not a fan of that. I played through fight. I haven't played round four, but basically my experience in round three is you got to a point where you were strong enough where all you did was your special punch like over and over again until you knocked the guy out. And I'm getting to the point now. And also, I also remembered, the name of the other guy was Mike Swick. You're getting to the point now where I've kind of beefed up my guy's kickboxing skills. So I have this kind of a really hard head kick that's kind of the same as your special punch in Fight Night. And I kind of just do that over and over again until I knock the guy out. Because I've tried a bunch of times to submit a guy, and you have to get the guy's health, or I guess they call it stamina, down so low to be able to submit them that by the time it gets down that low, chances are you're going to knock them out.
Huh.
So it's kind of getting to the same thing over and over again. So I'll probably play it for a couple more days and send it back. The game did surprise me. It is a great game, and I can't, considering they call it Undisputed 2009, I'm kind of thinking they're probably going to come out with one next year as well.
Right. I wonder how that EA one will be.
That kind of, considering how good Fight Night was, it kind of interests me. I may pick it up.
Did you see that video they put up? I think it was this week.
Yeah, that was weird.
They kind of punk the producer of the game where... Like, they had a bunch of the MMA fighters in the studio, and they're all checking out the game, and the one guy's, like, looking at his stats, and he's, like, pissed that some of his stats are low, and all the other guy's making fun of him. Then he starts getting really pissed off and starts dropping F-bombs and went to, like, attack the one guy, and everyone kind of freaked out, and he goes to the producer. He's like, what the fuck, man? What the fuck? He's like, I mean, no respect. Dude, I'm just fucking with you. And, like, everyone starts laughing.
Yeah.
What I took away from that was that in the middle of their big conference table was a ball like pit.
I know. How sweet was that?
Jeez.
So I've been playing that, and then the other thing I've been playing, to keep on the even older games, is I've been playing Persona 3 FES for PS2.
Ooh,
yeah, very good.
Did you start from the beginning, or are you just playing the FES parts?
No. I'm starting from the beginning because I purchased the original Persona 3 right when it came out. I popped it in, I played about 5 hours of it. And then I meant to start it. I kind of got off on one of my tangents and I started playing something else and I forgot about it. And then when I heard FES was coming out, I said, okay, I'm just going to wait. And then by the time I got around to picking up FES and I had basically a free window of not having an RPG to currently play, Persona 4 had come out. And I'd heard so many good things about that that I actually jumped in and played Persona 4 first, played through that, beat it, and then immediately went back and started playing Persona 3, which was a huge mistake. I should have played 3 first because they made so many improvements in 4, like little tweaks to the gameplay.
Right,
I
know.
I'm finding it really agitating in 3. The main thing that is agitating me in 3 is the fact that you can't directly control your party.
Right.
Like,
that, yeah.
Who in their right mind thought that was a good decision?
But it's funny it's not so bad, like, because, you know, like, I played Persona, I played about 15 hours of Persona 3, mm-hmm. and about, like, 20 of Persona 4. I still need to beat both of those. But yeah, you know, it was something that, like, I got used to in Persona 3, but having played as much Persona 4 as I did, I can't imagine going back.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, I played through the whole thing. I came in, like, 90-something hours on Persona 4. So I go back to Persona 3 now, and I mean, I'm finding my way through it. It was really annoying at first. I've kind of gotten used to it. I'm about 35 hours into it now.
Yeah, my thing with Persona 3 is a really, really good game, but I think that Persona 4 does just about everything better.
I would have to agree.
Even if just a little bit better. Like, the characters are a bit more likable, the story better, the way the dungeons look better, I don't know.
Oh, God, the dungeons is one thing that's really pissing me off, is that, I mean, it's like, oh, come on. Tartarus.
No more Tartarus sauce, please.
But yeah, I mean, not only, like you said, not only the characters more likable in Persona 4, they're more realistic.
Mm-hmm. Like, a lot more.
Persona 3 suffers from the typical Japanese RPG affliction of, this is not how teenagers act in
their
life.
It's like that whole superhero teenager bullshit. Yeah.
It's like, okay, these are not realistic teenagers. These are anime teenagers.
Especially, like, the two older ones. The one girl with, like, the weird red hair and the guy with the, I don't know, the bandage. Like, Junpei was okay. The girl's all right, and, you know.
The funny thing is that now, like, having liked the characters in Persona 4 so much, now that I'm playing 3, I can see how much of a ripoff of some of the characters in 3 the characters in 4 were. Like, because you could say Yosuke is just Junpei, like, repackaged.
Right, yeah, pretty much. The Chie is pretty similar, at least, to...
I'd say that they took Yukari from 3 and split her into 2 characters.
Exactly.
And Chie and Yukiko.
Exactly. It made... Yeah.
But I'm looking forward to it. That game just got kind of weird. I mean, minor spoilers. I guess they just showed all over the place. But the last 2 party members I've gained were a robot and a dog.
Yeah,
it's like, come
that's
on.
Right. Apparently, I think that robot, like, she becomes the main character in the FES stuff.
Yeah, I heard that. Although I also heard that a friend of mine who's a big Persona fan played through FES, and he said it was the biggest waste of time ever, because he said it's nothing but like a dungeon crawl, like Grindfest. So I probably won't even bother with it after I'm done. I got too many other RPGs sitting on my shelf that I haven't played yet.
If I play through Persona 3, it'll be in that PSP version of it coming out. That could be cool.
I heard they're making a lot of tweaks to it. Like,
if they basically, like, right, if they can bring some of the Persona 4 stuff, that'd be cool.
They are. Supposedly they let you control your entire party.
There you go. I really gotta get to Persona 4. That's just one of those games, I think it happens to all of us, there's a game we totally dig, we think the world of it, and it's awesome, and then we just kind of stop playing it.
It's because they're too long.
that's not the problem with Persona 4. Persona 4
is
just
for
long.
For a lot of
you know
games.
What it was with me? I got discouraged as soon as people started talking about how there's, like, the one true ending of Persona 4.
Yeah, I hate that crap. And then, I played your damn game for 100 hours, show me the right ending.
And then I began thinking, well... I don't want to start, like, first off, I probably already missed something. Like, I'm probably already not doing a good enough job on my social links to get the good ending.
No. The endings has nothing to do with your social links. I will tell you that right now. The endings are all dialogue tree based.
Like, towards the end?
Yes, like, right, like, I'd say at least 80 hours in. Like, 80, 85 hours in.
I stopped right at, the girl pretending to be a boy's dungeon.
No, yeah, you're 30 hours from when the decision's gonna be made.
Okay, yeah, I gotta get to that because I thought the game was great.
They make it very, very obvious because there's two separate There's one. The first one is the, you know, the bad ending or the good ending, and the second one is the good ending or the true ending. So there's two separate dialogue trees, and they make it very, very apparent when, like, they make a big deal out of these conversations.
At least we live in the YouTube age where once I see the one, I can just go back and on YouTube. Yeah. It's not like Chrono Trigger where it was like, oh, shit, I got to beat the game 20 times.
And I mean,
21 times in the DS version.
Yeah. I mean, minor spoiler here for the endings. I'm not going to say anything about the endings, but the good ending and the true ending, there's not a whole lot different between it, except a few lines of dialogue that make the true ending a lot better.
Oh, man. See, now I'm probably going to play it tonight. You've put my mind at ease.
No,
I was terrified about the whole ending thing.
No. Trust me, they make it very, very apparent when the decision has to be made.
I hope that we do get, like, just the total badass Persona 5 for next generation.
I was really surprised when they didn't announce anything about that at TGS.
TGS had nothing exciting announced. What?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's pretty much it for me.
Man, now after I watch all this
baseball. Go play it. It's a good game.
I think I am. After I watch all this baseball tonight, I think that's what I'm going to do. Or do I want to do that, or do I want to run some more dungeons and WoW?
No.
Wow.
No.
That's what my one friend did to make fun of my one friend who doesn't play video games at all. When he was making fun of my one friend who plays WoW all the time, he just said, wow.
Let him know that you're playing now.
Yeah, I'll let him know that I've become the WoW guy. Wow. Oh, man.
Anything else, Derek?
I think that's pretty much it.
All right.
Releases.
What are downloads. They? WiiWare. Word Searcher. I have no idea. Virtual Console. The original Final Fantasy for NES. That's kind of cool.
Kind of cool.
That only masochists should play that game.
Right. You don't want to play that original one. It's it's pretty fugly now.
Yeah. It's not even that. It's the fact that at the beginning of a turn, if you all target one enemy and the first guy kills it, each party member after that will hit air.
Oh, that's dumb.
Oh, man. Yeah.
It doesn't automatically switch over to another enemy. It still tries to hit the enemy that's not there anymore.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
The early years. DSi, Thorium Wars. I don't know what that is. 360, Xbox Live Arcade, Lucidity, and then South Park Let's Go Tower Defense Play. Two new Xbox Originals, Call of Duty 3. And Rainbow Six Vegas 2 on the PlayStation Network.
I'm sorry. The Xbox Originals are such a ripoff. Like,
some are. Like, Battlefield Bad Company for $20 isn't bad.
That's not bad, but when you start getting into the ones that are $30, when you can walk into a GameStop, like, especially the 360 releases, you know, they're selling them for $30. Like, I think they have Assassin's Creed on there for $30. You can walk into Best Buy, or you can walk into GameStop and get it for $20.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the big problem with current digital distribution models. They don't take into, like, everyone assumed, oh, there's no shipping costs, there's no packaging, they'll be cheaper. It's because everyone's afraid of GameStop. And that's honestly it. It's kind of annoying. Let's see, PlayStation Network. The very good, from what I hear, Critter Crunch is out for $7. I might actually pick this up tonight. It's like a kind of bust-a-move-ish game with, like, hand-drawn animation. PlayStation 1 Classic Pandemonium, which is a fantastic game, and two basketball games for the PSP, NBA 10 The Inside and NBA Live 10.
I wonder if The Inside is as good as the show.
EA 1 is $40. What's that?
Is The Inside as good as the show?
I have no idea.
If it does for basketball what the show does for baseball, I might have to get it. But we'll see.
You could look into that.
I could look into that.
Good Old Games has Commandos Ammo Pack and the Red Baron Pack.
Like Snoopy?
No, like World War One.
Oh, okay. All right, you done?
Yeah.
All right. Real releases. Demon's Soul for PS3. What is this?
I was just gonna ask you.
I want this game so bad.
Okay, Derek, tell me what this game is. I've literally never heard of it till like a week ago,
really?
And everyone's like freaking out about it.
Dude, everyone's been freaking out about it for a while because it was released in Japan, I think, last year. But it was
is this the one that, like, it had an English track, but Atlus was like, please don't import this. We're going to make it really sweet.
Yes.
You're going to buy it, and you're going to like
that,
it.
That was this one. A lot of people were talking about it back then. It had a full English track on it, so a lot of people were importing it. Basically, it's like an action RPG type game. Like, think back to, like, the if you pulled in like a Baldur's Gate game into third person, that's kind of what it's like. It's kind of like a hack and slash dungeon crawler.
Yeah.
But supposedly it's, like I said, I haven't played it. I've seen video of it. The game looks great. But the one big thing that's out there right now that's a big controversy over is that supposedly the game is hard as balls, to the point where certain reviewers have refused to review it because they can't get past the first 5 minutes of the game.
Wow. Wow.
But the people that are reviewing it are giving it nines and higher.
Yeah, I was going to say, I see GameSpot here gave it a nine. Because next week, when Uncharted and Brutal Legend come out, Toys R Us is doing their buy two, get one free deal.
Yes.
And what I've been considering doing was just getting, like, something and trying to do that trick where you like, wait till something you want's coming out. You could, like, do an exchange and getting Borderlands with that, which comes out the following week. But I was hearing all about this. I'm like, well, maybe if this is good, maybe I'll get it, because I wouldn't have gotten it otherwise. And
okay,
if
just,
it's free, right
now. Just so you know, like, as much as I hate website, I mean, Souls has a 90 on Metacritic right now.
Yeah, I just looked that
See,
up.
that's what I said. Like, I've heard all this hype and seeing the good reviews. I'm like, oh, maybe this is worth checking out.
The game is hard. There's nobody has any. Nobody's even trying to disguise that the game is hard. But supposedly it's a fantastic game. And I guess I don't know a whole hell of a lot about it. Like I said, because I don't have a PS3. But from what I'm hearing, there's really cool kind of multiplayer aspects to it, where I guess. Something about people, I'm not going to get too into it because it sounds like a complete moron, but I guess some people that maybe that are on your friends list that are playing it, they show up like as like kind of ghostly characters inside the world, and you can use them to help you out in the game.
I'm going to have to investigate more. I'm going to have to watch some videos and stuff.
I didn't know much about this either, but it kind of looks like something that might be up my alley.
Yeah, maybe. Like I said, since I'd basically be getting it for free, it might be worth trying.
You know, it probably kind of just became white noise to me because the name is sort of dumb.
Yeah.
I see Demon Souls. I'm like, yeah, that's cute. Whatever. Go screw off. But no, looks like that might actually be cool. Yeah. That'll probably be like it'll be like how last Christmas I got Valkyria Chronicles for the PS3.
And you haven't opened it yet?
Yeah, even though it's like supposed to be cool, but I just haven't gotten to it. I gotta do that. I bet I'll get this and not play it for a while, too. Because there's so much stuff coming out, but it looks cool as hell. Operation Flashpoint, Dragon Rising. Yeah, for PC, PS3, 360
as well. Yeah.
Star Wars, The Clone Wars, Republic Heroes, 360 and PS3.
And PSP and
PS2
Wii.
As well.
I thought this one was. Weren't some people saying how this one was like supposed to be good?
No.
Yeah, well, like, you know. I talked about the demo when I played it, and like, yeah, I told you, like, they're making a big deal how like they got the actual character models from the show,
good.
And they don't look good at all. You know what's funny to me too is there's the LucasArts Twitter I follow, and this guy's like, "Oh, I'm having so much fun playing Republic Heroes. How are you guys like?" And I'm like, "Dude, that game's terrible. Don't even."
The last I saw was averaging like a 37 on Metacritic.
Yeah, it's at a 3.5.
It's not getting great reviews.
All right, so first basketball game, NBA 2K10, PS3, PC, PSP, and PS2.
360 as well. I don't know why they like break up these listings.
Yeah, I know. These things are confusing. Then we have NBA Live 10 for PS3, and I'm assuming 360 and everything else under the sun. Saw for the PS3, 360, whatever.
Yeah.
Wii Fit Plus came out. How about that? Naruto Shippuden Legends Akatsuki Rising.
Okay, now let's be clear here. It is Naruto Shippuden
colon.
Legends colon Akatsuki Rising.
Yeah, no,
what
no.
The fuck?
I'm not a big fan of games with two colons in the title.
Yeah, that's pushing it.
Cities XL for PC. More ports of that Clone Wars game. That's about it. So wait.
That's it.
So the Sony, the Inside basketball game isn't out yet. Is that it? Or did it come out last week?
I don't see it on the list here. What's next week's list look like? Because it is a download on the PSP at least right now.
Oh, really? Maybe it came out last week.
I don't remember talking about it.
The Inside. What would we have said about it?
Yeah, who knows? I mean, it seems like this week is kind of the one lull that we're going to get for the rest of the year.
Yeah. Yeah, it really does. Like I said, it's kind of a bummer, because like I said, when I saw this 2-for-1 deal going on at Toys R Us, I was like, oh, what else is coming out that week? And of course, like, everything else I wanted, Borderlands and Forza, were like all the following week. I'm like, son of a bitch.
Yeah, I mean, Demon's Souls might be worth it if you're getting it for free.
Yeah, I might.
Yeah, for free, what the hell?
Well, like I said, I mean, the other plan was to try to finagle it so I could get a copy of Borderlands out of the deal. So here's the trick, from what I understand, from going to the Cheap Ass Gamers Forum. You have to make sure that the game you don't actually want is one of the first two games rung up, because that one will have price next to it, and then technically it falls within the 45-day return policy for unopened software. And then you just go in and tell them, like, oh, you know, this was a gift, and I already have it, and so I'd just like to trade it for something
else.
So
what you
else.
Do is when you hand in the three games, you put the one that you want to exchange in the middle.
Yeah.
This is kind of going back, but as much as I like Persona 3 and 4, I don't know if I could do that Persona 1 re-release on PSP.
Oh, yeah, that's right, that came out, too.
Yeah.
I just don't know. That's PlayStation 1.
That's an old school, like, dungeon RPG. Crawler. It's first person. Yeah. I mean, that is old school.
Yeah, anything that has the first person dungeon crawling bits, like Ultima, no. I'm not doing that.
Oh, hey, another real quick story about lying to retailers. So, I had Brutal Legend pre-ordered at GameStop, and I wanted to go cancel so I could do this 2-for-1 deal. And I also, I wanted to get a Game Informer subscription, because it seems like they've really done a lot to, like, redo the magazine and this epic Mickey cover and everything. So I go inside, and I tell the guy, you know, I'd like to cancel my Brutal Legend pre-order, but put it towards getting an Edge card and a Game Informer subscription. And, of course, this other guy behind the counter had to say, like, oh, why are you canceling it? You don't want Brutal Legend anymore? So off the cuff, I make up this absurd story. I told the guy, I just started, funny story, actually. So my brother and I were really competitive with each other in Halo 3 multiplayer. Player, and we were playing this week, and he started shit-talking to me, and we bet each other that the winner of this match had to buy the other one a copy of Brutal Legend, and I won. So he just bought it on PayPal and is having it shipped to me.
That is pretty convoluted.
I know, and the guy was like, oh, dude, that's sweet.
I would just be like, no, I'm going to go get it at Toys R Us.
I don't know why I felt like I had to tell this guy that. The story just popped in my head. I was like, you know what? That's kind of funny.
Though, like, the guy probably knew you were bullshitting him, because I worked at GameStop for over a year, and I've had people tell stories like that. And I'm just like, mm-hmm, yeah, okay, smile and nod. As soon as they walk out the door, just turn to the person you're working with. Like, that guy's so full of shit.
Yeah, you thought you had him fooled. Yeah, no.
The thing is, you think that the people there who work there.
By the way.
Right. Well, no. I had like one of the Uber salesmen. As I was doing this transaction, he tried to get me to pre-order a bunch of things. Told me about the trade-in deal they have with 360 games. Asked me if I wanted to buy any Xbox Live point cards.
See,
asked me like he. This guy went
well,
through.
Well, see,
the
I mean, this is the thing that people don't realize, and employees of GameStop get a lot of shit because of this, and it's. Sometimes it's deserved, a lot of times it's unfair. GameStop very frequently has secret shoppers, and if you do not ask every single person every single question about anything you can possibly think of, you will probably get fired.
Yeah, we actually have the same thing at the Disney store.
So their chances are they are not asking you that because they want to. It's just they want to keep their job.
Right. I understand that. It's just, like, funny to me still. This guy's, like, just, you want this? And I'm like, no. Yeah, I sometimes want to, like, I wish there was, like, some kind of secret handshake you could have with, like, the GameStop employees. Where, like, you know, I'm not some idiot who's come in here buying a gift for their little brother. Like,
well, see,
I understand all this
that's
stuff.
That's why I tend to go to certain GameStops. Like, I tend to go to one certain GameStop, even though there's another one that's closer to my apartment. Just because the people who work there know me, and they know when I walk in, they know not to bother me, and they know when I come up to the counter, I know what I want, and they don't bother me with any pre-orders or anything like that.
Yeah, I'm trying to build that rapport at this store, because this is the one that's closest to my apartment, and I've been trying to go there.
My GameStop's sweet. They know me.
Yours is nice.
They give me swag that I don't even ask for. Like, I went to get Kingdom Hearts, the DS one, and they're like, did you pre-order? I'm like, nah. They're like, oh, okay. And then he just handed me a poster and, like, the other pre-order bonuses. I'm like, thank you.
Exactly.
Like, yep.
Like, but, I mean, have you guys noticed, like, in the recent years, the quality of the employees at game stores have gone down? Like, you go in there, they don't know what the hell you're talking about.
I always have to bite my tongue. when like I hear like someone will ask a question about when a game comes out or something or other, and they just they're completely yeah. wrong, and I just want to speak up so bad. I'm like, no, no, don't
oh no,
be that
I've
guy.
I've done it, and under proper circumstances, I've done it and made the employee look like a complete ass, and it was really funny. But like I just mean times that I've walked in there and I was talking to one employee and I mentioned that I happen to be like a step above most nerds in the fact that I have an arcade machine in my apartment.
Nice.
I have a Neo Geo 4-slot arcade cabinet.
Oh, nice.
I happened to mention it to the guy, and the guy goes, what's that? I said Neo Geo, and he was like, oh, this guy that works for me has a Neo Geo Pocket. Like, that is the only thing he knew of Neo Geo. I'm like, oh, my God, you're the man. The guy was the store manager, too. I'm like, you're the store manager here? Like, come on.
So I never understood. If you don't like video games, why are you working in a video game retailer?
Oh, some people just want a job, I guess. But
I guess.
All right.
Now that we've gone on a weird random tangent.
Yeah, that's.
What do you say we wrap this thing up?
Yep. All right, everyone. This
is a really long show.
This was. Thank you, Derek. You did a good job.
No problem.
How was our side of the podcasting world?
AJ mentioned when he was on Pixel Revolt. This past week, it's nice to be on a podcast and not have to worry about editing it immediately afterwards.
Right.
Speaking of, would you like to go ahead and plug your podcast?
Yes, I guess I can do that now. I co-host a podcast called Pixel Revolt, which is the bitmob.com community podcast. We come out every 2 weeks on Tuesdays. It used to be Monday, but the Mobcast comes out on Monday, so we figured we'd give those guys a little breathing room and, you know, give them a few extra listeners.
How nice of you.
But you guys can. We're available on iTunes. If you guys enjoy the show, you can subscribe to us on there, and we'd very much appreciate it if you could leave us a rating, because it helps us reach more people. The first week we were out there, we got up and really high in the iTunes ratings, but we haven't been back there since. So we could use some more ratings. You can also find us on Bitmob.com every 2 weeks.
I will say, too, their podcast is really good because it's not the typical format that kind of we have where it's like...
It's not a one-up yours or stuff like us.
It's not. You guys actually have a really unique show in the way you go through articles. So, yeah, I highly recommend it to everybody.
I always tell people that we're a, kind of a twofold community podcast. Not only is the show put on by the community, the show is about the Bitmob community.
Nice. So when am I going to be on it?
You keep writing some of those articles.
I knew you were going to ask that at some point. Did they change the picture in your latest article at the top?
They did change my picture. I don't know why.
But wasn't it one of your hand-drawn ones?
Complain to Brett about that. He's the one that did it.
Yeah, you should never... I could see, like, they changed my Figment picture because I was like, oh, maybe it was, like, copyright infringement or something. But I think they should leave that. That's a pastiche.
I don't want to complain. I'm always amazed and thrilled that they want to promote my stuff anyways. They can do whatever they want. They can put a donkey dick on there if they want to. I'll be happy. And with that...
Yes.
Thanks, everyone, for listening to the Exploding Barrel Podcast. You can find more of us at explodingbarrel.wordpress.com or at the Squadron of Shame website at squadronofshame.com.
Which I finally updated this week. I'm really bad about that.
What the heck is up with Planet Mickey, Edge Guy? Huh? We recorded like a show a month ago. Get that?
I know.
Yeah. Yeah. Guess what you're doing after you edit this one?
A shit ton of homework.
Nope. You're failing those classes.
Oh, great.
All right. Anyways, you can also follow us at twitter.com/explodingbarrel. That's it for this week. Thanks for listening. Thanks again to Derek and the whole Bitmob crew for being cool in general.
Yeah.
Why not? That came out stupid. Anyways, thanks for listening.
Wrap it up, Mike. You're losing them.
Bring it home, son. Okay. Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll see you here next week on the Exploding Barrel Podcast.
Good night.